All right, so as we so I would like to just turn back, you know, this the Sifsei Chaim here in Midos Vavodas Hashem Chilek Beis. Vad Chaf Aleph has a vad entitled Tefillah V'Hishtadlus, which he traces through activities throughout this entire parak. So we have so the obvious, the most obvious spot of Tefillah V'Hishtadlus, and probably the most famous, perhaps because of lines that the Ramban has about this, is the opening two psukim of the parak, where Rachel complains to Yaakov. And it says Rachel to Yaakov, why haven't you been davening enough? So what is her claim there? What is her claim that why haven't you been davening enough? So the assumption that Rachel has is, Yaakov, if you would be davening enough, I would have a child by now. Which is perhaps a, I don't say overextension of emunah, but is a maintains a deep and intense amount of emunah. That the main reason that I don't have a child is because you haven't davened. It's because you have, so davening hasn't done on a high enough level. And I, the fact that I'm not actually able to have children, the assumption is that Rachel actually, Bederach HaTeva, was not able to have children. So that assumption says, I don't care, says Rachel. Aval yesh b'kavach ha-tfil l'shamas ha-sativa, right? The tefillah has the strength, has the ability to change the teva, to change the nature of the world. And that's it. There's nothing else to speak about. So Yaakov got angry with her for this statement. So what was Yaakov's anger based on? So Yaakov was upset that she spoke improperly. That she said, Havali banim, bring me children. As if, Hu adon al kach she'ela banim, as if he was the one who was in charge about whether she would be giving, whether she would get children or not. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu heishav Yaakov, kach onin es hamokos. That's not the way that you're supposed to answer a woman who is in need like that. Because he didn't get the fact that she was bitzar. So who is right between Yaakov and Rachel? So wait, Rachel had an overextension of emunah, and Yaakov was upset with her for bringing for doing that, for demonstrating this amount that was considered too high. Okay, so Yaakov yells at her for that. Was Yaakov correct in that? Well, Yaakov, Hashem didn't give Yaakov a yasher koach for setting Rachel straight. Hashem simply told Yaakov, you didn't talk to her in the right way. So was Rachel wrong? Was she right? So it's unclear. But perhaps the duration of the Terek spells out about exactly what Hashem had in mind with regards to what he was expecting from Rachel in order to get a child. Because what happens next before Rachel has a child, and the idea is that she gives Yaakov, the very next thing that happens after that little incident is not that Rachel goes and prays and then gets pregnant. The very next thing that happens is Vatomer hinei in pasuk gimel, Vatomer hinei amasi Bila bo'aleha. Here is my maidservant Bila, and you should have Bia with her. I mean, you should have relations with her. Right, and therefore I will also ve'evne gam anochi mimena, and I will have a child from this, or I will also have a child from this. So what does it mean? I will also have a child from this. What is Rachel saying to Yaakov when she says, "Oh, by you having relations with her, I will also have a child"? So mahu gam, says Rashi. So amra lo ziknecha amram hayulu banim mehagar v'chagar masnav keneged Sarah. That when, well, Avram, it could be that your father, Yitzhak Davin, and he didn't have any children yet, and therefore that was successful. Okay, and you're perhaps at a different level. But Avraham also had a wife who didn't have any children yet, and what did he do? So he had Hagar, that his wife, Sarah, made him have relations with Hagar, and then they had a child from that. So Amrullah is a Kadiyachisa Tsarasulubesa. So Amrullah, Ima Davar Zem Akev, right? And that's what's holding me back. The fact that I haven't allowed a Tsara, a co-wife, to come into the house. So now I'm going to do this. So Yaakov responds to her. That's actually included in the Ramban. The Ramban makes it. So Yaakov responds to her then, okay, well, let's bring her in first. Right, Avram first, Avram hispal al Sara, rakla achar sheikh nisa es sarasa. That Avram only davened on behalf of Sara, at least our only recording of Avram davening on behalf of Sara, happens after he brings in Hagar. So too you. We'll bring in Bilhah, and then perhaps the tefillos are going to be successful. Why is that the case? Because the idea of her coming in, the idea of the tzara marrying in, is not just I'll have another child through her, and therefore it will be as if that's my kid. That is actually considered the hishtadlus. That is considered the effort that is required in order for Sarah, in order for Rachel to have a child. That Rachel says, this is part of my hishtadlus. Now, how is that? How is it that having that Yaakov marrying a tzara is going to be considered part of the hishtadlus? So the Sforno comments on that line, Shebekinas Yerech Chavarti Yisor Tevekli Hazer Lepulasam. The Sforno actually said that, well, by having this co-wife and the jealousy that I will have from having this co-wife, that perhaps will open up my womb a little bit more, and then I'll be able to have a child through that. That is the action of hishtadlus, and that might actually work. That actually is a physical thing that the person could that I can do. Now, the truth is, comments of Sifsei Chaim, that hishtadlus is not supposed to work, meaning it might have worked by Sarah. Sarah didn't have the same issues that Rachel did. Rachel does not, I don't know, she doesn't have a womb. I don't know if Chazal actually commented what specifically her issue was, but Bederach HaTeva, she's not supposed to have children. So it's not like, oh, I'll be jealous, therefore I'll have. You require a change, she needs to have some significant change in order to have children. But yet, comments of Sifsei Chaim, that's enough. The fact that she is doing hishtadlus, the fact that she is putting in her own effort in this physical world, that will open the gates of prayer and almost entitle her in order to have a child. So this connection between the idea of hishtadlus, between the idea of efforts versus the idea of tefillah, says the Sifsei Chaim, is really the main theme throughout the duration of this parak, that you have Yaakov's complaint to Rachel, well, you haven't done anything yet. You think that only tefillah is going to work. You have to do something first, and that is Rachel's response. Rachel's response then is, fine, if that's the case, then I'll have you marry Bilhah, and that may evoke the jealousy within me. Whatever that means, as if Leah having a bunch of children was not enough to evoke the jealousy within her. But that perhaps is going to evoke something within me that will make it possible for me to have a child. Al Piderach HaTeva, it won't. So that doesn't matter, because even though Al Piderach HaTeva I'm not able to do it, I'm putting in an effort which has worked in the past for people, and then that will be enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to pick up on and be able to do the rest. So the Sifsei Chaim comments, "V'kan mevuar she'ein stira bein tefillah lehishtadlus." That often we think, or a person may think, that there is some kind of contradiction between effort versus tefillah. If I'm going to rely on tefillah, if I'm going to rely on prayer, why do I have to bother with effort? And if I'm going to be putting an effort, why do I have to bother with tefillah? The two of them seem to contradict one another. However, that's not what we're being taught here. Kol od sharachel lo asta es hishtadlus, ein lavo alav b'tefillah, madu ein nisfalin avura. That so long as Rachel wasn't doing her hishtadlus, so she wasn't able to ask why you haven't davened on my behalf, right? Or why haven't the tefillahs been accepted? She's not able to ask that question until she's actually done some amount of effort on her behalf. And then the Sifsei Chaim continues on and says that, guess what? That is what the story of the Dudaim is about as well. The story of the Dudaim is that once we have done that amount of effort, so then I am now able to then request I'm now able to daven properly on behalf of the child. There's a Sforno comments there in the parak in this section about the Dudaim. Ki roi litzadik shiyasi ishtadlus hatavai ha'efsher etzel lahasi chefzo v'imzei yispal shiyasi katachlis. That the tzadik has to do his hishtadlus, he has to do his effort, and then perhaps he'll be able to attain his thing by way of the tefillah that he's then going to do. As the Gemara says, "Ramush Hakadosh Baruch Hu misavel l'tfilasim shel tzaddikim." That Hashem desires the tefillah of tzaddikim. However, his main taiva might be tefillah. Right? Hashem might desire the prayer more, but that only can come from Well, it could come from after the physical hishtadlus is done. And in fact, the pasuk comments here. That right after this action with the Dudaim, so Yaakov comes in and in Pasuk Tes Zayin, is Yaakov comes back from the field and he's told to go to Leah. And then what's the very next Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Zayin? By Shema Elokim El Leah, that Hashem listens to Leah. So what does it mean Hashem listens to Leah? Right. So Rashi commented on that. We mentioned this before. There's no mention of any tefillah from Leah. So what is Hashem listening to? So Rashi comments, well, it must have been that she really had in mind that she wants to have another children, and more children. So Sissi Chaim adds in, no, it's more than that. Nasan Elokim Schari Asher Nasati Shivchasi Liyishi, that Hashem has now given me reward. That's actually that's the name for Yisachar. That Hashem gave me reward for giving the Shivcha to my husband, right? And therefore, he named the kid Yisachar. So where is the tefillah there? The answer is that, no, Hashem listened to her tefillah, which only came after the hishtadlus. That obviously there was a tefillah that was done. So why is Hashem only listening to her tefillah now? Because she had done an action first in order to sort of earn the right to respectfully ask for another child. And then what comes right after that? By Skor Lukim es Rachel. That's Pasuk Chaf. That Hashem remembers Rachel. What does it mean at that point that Hashem remembers Rachel? That she davened after she had done her two types of hishtadlus. What are two types of hishtadlus? A, giving bula to Yaakov, and B, acquiring the dudaim from Leah. After she had done those two actions, so then her tefillos were heard, and then Hashem was able to grant her that child.
I have a question.
Yes.
Very famous that Leah had her eyes were very teary and it was said by it was a known thing that Leah is going to get married to Esau, and what happened later on was that she gave up the secret code and to Leah because she shouldn't get embarrassed and everything, so she gave up. She didn't know that Yaakov was going to wait another 7 years.
Yeah.
So here, all of a sudden, she's crying and she's saying and she wants to have shvatim with him. She wants to give up the whole thing.
She already was ready to give it up.
The whole thing. He didn't even know that he's going to wait another 7 years for you. And here, she has all those tainas and you should have them for me. Masha, what's going on over here?
I mean, what right does she have to have a tain if she's ready to give the whole marriage up in the first place?
She gave it up. Not sure that she gave it up.
Well, I mean, she demonstrated a readiness to give it up.
That he married
It's human nature to think about that at the moment.
I mean, it might be right. It could be that now she's in the situation. I mean, she was ready to give it up. Okay, I'm ready to give it up and fine. But she ended up not. Now she's married. And now she's married with Yaakov. So, Hashem, you're not going to give me any children? I mean, that's not an unfair thing. I mean, I was ready to do something in life and whatever. And I decided, and it turns out that something worked out. So now I'm not allowed to demand better. I don't know. I hear it's a good point. Good point. But I think she, you know, from the starting point of this perek, she says, I don't have any kids and I want to have kids. So she's allowed to say that, even though she might have given up in the past. Now you could argue this, that's a attack against her hishtadlus. I mean, that would be. How could you say you're doing everything to have children when you almost backed out of having children? So that answer is, well, yeah, I was ready to then, but now I'm in this situation and I need to do my hishtadlus in order to move on. Yeah. So he goes on and says, he quotes from, I don't know who this is, Das Chesvav Mem. I'm not sure who that's referring to. He just answers Choshen Mishma. It doesn't make sense here. That he brings an additional proof to this idea, and that is a little bit later on. Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph in Bereishis. So this is in the midst of the whole issue of Yaakov debating whether to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. That Yosef has demanded that Binyamin come down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov is very hesitant to do it. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, right, the Yomer Aleihem Yisrael Avihem. So Yisrael, their father, says to them. We'll get into at some, you know, down the road. Why is, when is Yisrael used versus Yaakov? But Yisrael, their father, says to them, Im kein eifo zos asu. If so, what am I supposed to do? If so, then I must do this, is the way it's translated. If it must be so, then do this. Take the glory of your baggage, take the glory of the land in your bags, and give this man a tribute. And it says, Ma'atzari, Ma'atvash, Mechos Velot, translated as balsam, honey, wax, lotus, pistachios, and almonds. Right, and you're going to take money. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kesef Fisha Kachul Biyadchem, Yes Kesef Musha B'Fiyam Tochem, Teshivu Yadchem, Ulai Meshkehu, that perhaps he will he'll return him, and then Va'esachichem Kachu, and you're going to do Ve'El Hashaddai Yitim Lachem Rachmin Lifnei Ish, and hopefully Hashem will be able to give you Rachmin. So it says the Sif Seichaim. That's a very interesting order. Yaakov comes. Yaakov figures out here. And says, okay, well, you guys got to go down. We need to have this favor. Let's do the following. Let's make sure you take Binyamin with you if you need him, and you're going to take all these gifts, you're going to take all these bribes, and hopefully you'll be able to get your brother out of there, and you'll be able to get food, and you'll be able to come back up. So Chaim says, wait a second, we have an interesting order here. First he tells them to do all these things, and only after he tells them to do all these things, so then he starts offering tefillos. Why is he only offering tefillos at the end? The answer is because first a person does their hishtadlus, first a person does their actions, and then they're entitled to turn to Hashem and say, okay, I did everything that I could possibly do, can you please help me? Right? And perhaps, look in the psukim, right, there's the famous incident of by Moshe before the Yamsuf, that obviously is a famous incident, but Hashem, Moshe turns to Hashem and says, what am I supposed to do? Hashem turns to Moshe and says, what are you talking to me for? Go into the ocean. Right? So, Moshe thinks that he had done it. It's not necessarily a taina on Moshe. Right? The whole pasuk is befuddling. Well, Moshe's like, what am I supposed to do? There's an ocean there. But Hashem is telling him, you haven't done anything yet. You have no right to talk to me. Right? And we got it. We'll get into it soon. But in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov prepares for his ultimate meeting with Esav, so what happens there? I believe first he sets aside the tribute, and gets ready for war, and then he offers his tefillos. I think we'll figure out when we get there. But the tefillos come last. He does the actions that he needs to do in order to go, and then offer tefillos. So then he concludes this chapter here by giving a very interesting insight from the Sefer Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem says that part of living in this world, this is in Perek Hay. Not Perek Hay, section 4, Perek Hay, section 2, subsection 2, that person has, that he has to see one's own needs. To understand the idea of tefillah is that, well, before you get to tefillah, a person has to understand that they live in this world. And a person must realize that he maintains his physical, he's a physical human. And that requires various things that one needs to do. And a person could ultimately be degraded by saying, Nebuch, what am I? I never got to work for a living. I got to do this. I got to do that. All these things in order to live. So, says the Derech Hashem, so what's tefillah? Tefillah is then uplifting all of those things that a person needs to do otherwise. Rather than be depressed by all the hishtadlus that a person does in this world, tefillah is the way of demonstrating that all of that hishtadlus is all part of my partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's all part of my acting b'shutfus, all acting me in concert with Hashem. That tefillah raises up all the other actions that I need to do. So while one could first start off the idea, this discussion wondering, wait a second, hishtadlus and tefillah seem to be opposite attitudes. On one hand, I'm divorcing myself from Hashem. On the other hand, I'm only binding myself to Hashem. And it seems to be a steer. It seems to be a contradiction. So the Derech Hashem puts it together and says, no, they're working in concert. That you have to do what you have to do in this world. And tefillah then elevates all those things that you need to do into a realm of Kedusha, into a realm of holiness, and into a realm of partnering with Hashem. There's one more note that concludes his vod here, but there's one more note that I don't think we've mentioned yet this year. But in the course of this perek, so one of the children's names are Naftali. Happens to be my name as well, or my middle name. is Naphtali. So what is the meaning of the name Naphtali? I'm totally in the wrong place here. So what is the name? Why is the name Naphtali given? Vatomer Rachel, Naphtuli Elokim, Naphtalti imachosi gam yacholti vatikra shemo Naphtali. And Rachel said, sacred schemes have I maneuvered to equal my sister, and I have also prevailed. Right? That is the name of Bilhah's second son. I have maneuvered these special schemes. But Rashi makes a comment about the word Naphtali. V'ani mefarsho, lashon ikesh, Naphtalti, niskabel tfilasi. That I've done these schemes, but Hashem has accepted my tefillah. Rashi immediately, Rachel says that the name of the child is Naphtali,
yeah,
because of, translated as, the schemes that I've done and that I've done in order to equal my sister, whatever that means. But says Rashi, Niskabla Tfilasi, Hashem has accepted my tfilos. So while the pasuk seems to be referring to actions that she did, right, I've manipulated it so that now Bilhah will have a lot of children and we'll equal Leah, and I've had children. I'm in charge of children just like Leah's in charge of children. It seems like it's physical actions, but it goes together with the idea of Niskabel Tefilasi. Hashem has accepted my tefilos, because the physical works together with the spiritual. And on that term of Naphtalti, so we have in Parshas Vayechi, so Yaakov greets Yosef. A little bit later, when he takes the two children. So he takes Ephraim and Menashe. Perek Memches Pasuk. So he brings his sons, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud is Vayne Yisrael, because he was very blind, so therefore he brings the children up close to him. So then he goes into this whole speech. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, ro fanecha lo filalti, vayne ra'osi elokim gam esarecha. That I never, how do you translate those terms? So the Arsko translates it as, I dared not accept the thought that I would see your face. But what does Rashi comment here? So Rashi comments here, lo filalti, lo mil'eni libi lachashov machshava she'era panecha od. That it never entered my heart to think that I'd be able to see your face again. And what is the root of the term filalti? The root of the term filalti is the idea of tefillah, is the idea of davening. So what is tefillah then? So I once heard this idea from Rav Benny Friedman, I think it's right al pi pshat, that the idea of tefillah itself is also about dreaming, is also about hishtadlus. Right? The translation is, I never dreamt that I would see your face again. I never even imagined that I would be able to see your face again. So what? If I never thought I would, what does that mean? It means I gave up. It means I wasn't doing anything in order to find you anymore. Yeah. So I didn't even daven for this. That's what Yaakov is saying to him. But what then is davening? Davening is about imagining the impossible. It's about sometimes the idea that Derech Hashem had was, well, I need to do things. I do things, then I offer, and then I daven in order that those things that I've done be uplifted and that they be successful. Right? That's what the Derech Hashem's version of tefillah. But sometimes tefillah itself is the beginning of action. The tefillah itself is the idea of dreaming, the idea of imagining that perhaps things are going to be better. And there's, well, nobody's here yet, so we can continue on a little bit. And that is perhaps is the idea of the Shmona Esrei, of all the things that we ask for. That's why the Anshei Knesset HaGedola had to establish these 19 brachos, because with Bnei Yisrael in Galus, and with Bnei Yisrael having all these various problems, and everything seems degraded, and everything seems lost, and it seems like nothing is ever going to get better, so we offer these tefillos. These are the things that you not just ask for every day, but that you dream about every day, that you hope for every day, that you have the right to hope for health, you have the right to hope for wealth, and you have the right to hope for that that Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt, that the base of Mikdash is going to exist again. You have the right to hope for all of those things. And that tefillah, that dream, then inspires us to go and do the actions. So while this Sifsei Chaim is saying that the criticism of Rachel was, you're not doing enough actions to earn the right to tefillah, sometimes tefillah is then supposed to inspire us to go ahead and do the proper actions. Right? And then they work in tandem and continue that cycle of our hishtadlus working together with the various tefillos that we offer, and it goes back and forth. Our actions are supposed to inspire our tefillos, and our tefillos are supposed to inspire our actions. All right, we'll stop here.